Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Bobby Moore as a Jeff Hurst. The trailer looking at Billy Bones. A Paolo Di Canio. West Ham United. More than just a podcast. More than just a podcast.
Good morning, good evening, or good afternoon. This is More Than Just a Podcast.
Podcast.
Season 7, episode 38, which means we've averaged a podcast for every game. That must be a record for us, 38 episodes in a year.
Yeah,
isn't it?
There's been a few specials, though, haven't there? Have they been counted?
There is a few specials in here, John.
Yeah.
Well, especially this season, Nige.
And I will say, I should have said, this is more than just a podcast, award-winning podcast, because we are now an award-winning... Oh, yeah, hang on a minute. Hang on. So, an award-winning podcast.
Be professional.
We won a Lenny. We won a Lenny. Amazing. It's probably not as good as a Sony Broadcast Award that Ian last week won. I think maybe
did Ian get an award for last week then?
Yeah, for his he got a Sony Broadcast Award for his efforts on More Than Just a Podcast.
There you go. So it's coming, our way in the long run.
But not just one, but we're a double award winner because our own Nigel won an award as well for best Twitter account at the Lennies.
Indeed.
So he's a double award winner. And he was dining out yesterday at the London Stadium and on the boats at Hammers Chat, signing autographs, you know, giving out photos of himself. Well done, Nigel. Double award winner. I missed out on two categories. I came third in Sycophant of the Year. I lost to that flump girl, X coming second.
That
flump girl. She was very upset. I would have loved Sycophant of the Year, and I deserved it as well. And I came second in Puppet of the Year to Jim White. So, through Clarence Hugh, I'm really upset about that. Understandable. Worthy winner, though. It's only a bit of fun. Don't take it too seriously, people. Anyway, not aimed at anyone in particular. Let's talk about football. We played a game of football against Big Sam's Everton Blue Toffees. I went dressed as an Everton fan, apparently, according to John.
Jogger.
Who took pictures of me in my...
Fucking jogger. You're having a laugh, aren't you?
Pushes anyway on. It was a nice day and I thought I'd get my legs out and wore a pair of shorts with a nice bright blue top. Anyway, it's not a fashion podcast, it is a football podcast. Let's start with John tonight and talking about West Ham versus Everton. And by the way, we won it 3-1, John. There's a starter for you.
I'll do it. I was there, I saw that. Yeah.
Nice to make a change you for not to be an armchair fan and come along.
Yeah. Thank you, Sky. I think it was probably our best performance of the season. It was quite an enjoyable game to watch. Some very good goals. thought he played really well. And it does make you feel whether they was that to do with the pressure being off? Have we got that sort of quality and talent in our team, in our squad, to be able to perform like that week in, week out? Or was it Everton not performing so well? But yeah, it was a great, it was a good game, good occasion. I felt like we were at them right from the beginning. We were on top for most of the game. We had control of the ball. I thought it was a good game, some great goals. So yeah, I was very pleased with the result, Sean.
We hate Big Sam more than you. We hate Big Sam more than you.
That wasn't as bad as I expected it, all that. I thought that might be a bit more.
You've got Sam Allardyce. Oh, good. You've got Sam Allardyce. You've got Sam Allardyce. You've got Sam Allardyce.
Yeah, it wasn't as sort of, you know. Everyone, it's, if the sun was out, wasn't it? It was a good performance.
What was your favourite song of the day, John?
We know what we are.
We know what we are. Keyboard warriors.
We know what
That's because you're a malcontent. More of that later. Who was your player of the day? Who's your man of the match?
Man of the match. I suppose it's got to be Lanzini, I think.
Yeah,
I think so. Great goals. Oh, yeah. What's his name? Pickford. It was quite funny when he did his like cross hands when he didn't save the ball, and when he tried to knee Arnautović as he came onto him, and then Arnautović sort of ran past him when he buried that one, which I thought was quite good. But yeah, I think Lanzini was my man of the match. But overall, good performance all round, really.
Is there anyone you didn't think pick, you know, had their part to play, you know, if you want to be critical of anyone, or did everyone put a shift in?
Right, not really. I couldn't be critical of anyone. Of that. It was a shame that Masuaku went off injured because he was causing chaos. Yeah.
How about Fernandes? I mean, Fernandes came on 21 minutes to replace Masuaku. Do you rate him still?
I think he's a decent player, but I think he's not that old, is he? Was he 21, something like that? I think he's still a bit hot and cold, so I wouldn't discard him. I think he's got some quality there, and he'll only improve, I would think, with some decent coaching and a settled coaching team and a bit of encouragement.
We didn't see much of Obiang, but it was good to see him back on the pitch. He came on for Lanzini on 86 minutes. It'd be important to get him back next year. You a fan of Obiang, John?
Yeah, I mean, again, he's had some really good spells, and then he goes missing on occasion, doesn't he? I mean, I think he scored the goal of the season this year against Tottenham. But he's a welcome addition to the squad. If we could improve on him, it's yet to be seen, isn't it? The way things are.
Two more questions, and we'll move over to Nigel. Mario, last game possibly in a West Ham shirt. Super Mario had a good game. I know we talked about it last week. Apparently, sources close to the club, even though we haven't got a manager, says they're quite impressed with him. He's a quality player. So if a deal could be done, maybe they listened to the podcast last week with you and Ian saying 20 million. If we could get him for 20 million, go for him. Maybe the powers that be will do that when we get ahead of recruitment and manager.
Maybe. I mean, maybe there is a deal to be done. Maybe they could keep him on loan for another season. But, you know, he's not a terrible player. He doesn't light the place up. But, you know, he's got something about him. He's better than some of the players in our squad. So,
yeah. Rice had, I thought, an excellent game. And I'm going to ask Nigel about him in a minute. But finally, Collins, coming on 88 minutes, obviously pre-planned. Looked like his last game. Noble came in and said, it's a sad day. This is about Ginge. I hope something can be done for him. James Collins had come out on Instagram today and said, it's not the end. Hope to have more news in 2 weeks, whether on or off the pitch. We were singing, there's only one Ginger Palais. We were singing, sign him up, sign him up, sign him up.
Which was ironic.
Do you think? Yeah.
Wasn't it?
Why was it ironic?
Because you'd already said to me that you wouldn't give him a contract, and I must be mad to want to give him a contract.
Yeah, I know. You kept reminding me. You go, why are you singing this? You don't want to give him a contract. And I just got caught away in the moment. Do you still think, take away your heart, right? Because I know you haven't got one. do you still think that really we should give him a contract?
I just
30 grand a week.
Yeah, I do. I think he's got a lot to offer. He comes in. He would accept he's not going to be a starter, first team player, a squad player, cover injuries, and I would look to bring him sideways now and into some sort of coaching role. They don't do enough of that, so I think it should be something they should be looking to do now. Players like him and players like Noble,
yeah,
should get moved sideways and into coaching roles. Mm.
Well, maybe.
That's the only way Noble can move, isn't it? Sideways.
Hey.
So let's move over to Nigel about the game, and then I'll come to you about whether it was the last game for Adrian, Cresswell, Mario.
The whole team, basically, by the sounds of it.
Lanzini. But let's talk about that in a minute. So what impressions of the game? Give us the quality, award-winning football analogy of the game, please, Nigel.
Well, we won. That's a start, isn't it, to be fair.
Did Everton turn up? Did Big Sam turn up? Did he care?
It's always harsh to say no, but on the face of it, they didn't really do a lot, did they, to push us. I think Adrian made a couple of good saves, though. But apart from that, I mean, there weren't a lot between the two teams. We just had that clinical up front. Where was Rooney? Why weren't he playing at all?
I mean, he's injured.
Oh, is he?
Yeah, I think he was injured and then he's going to America.
They, in a way, they looked like they looked a bit toothless up front, Everton.
Yeah.
And it really showed, and perhaps it belies the fact, where did they finish, ninth? I don't know how many points they were in front of us, probably 7 or 8, that's all. So there's not a lot, realistically, between the two teams. It's very tight there. So the game itself, it's always good to finish the season with a win because it sets everybody up and makes people look forward, and West Ham can send you emails saying, don't forget to renew your season ticket without getting a lot of stick for it.
Yeah.
So,
when do we renew, John?
I'm going to pop up there, I think.
Oh, are you? Oh, yeah, you are.
I wanted to know
when I renew.
When you want.
The day before. Keep the money in my bank as long as
possible. I'm loyal. I've already renewed.
No, you did it because.
Because I'm a mug.
We had that discussion.
I'm a mug.
Yesterday, when you were complaining about how decent our view was.
Yeah. So talk about the winners and losers in yesterday's game. I asked John the same thing. Who stood it out for you?
I thought it was a good team performance, to be fair, without actually picking out losers. I wouldn't like to say, oh, he weren't up to it. He was a bit short. There's, you know, it was a good all-round team performance. I mean, obviously, up front, we always look better with Lanzini and Arnautovic playing together. And Mario, I don't know, the jury's out on him, isn't it? I think with Mario, I've said it before, it all comes down to cost. It's obvious he's not the quality of like 30, 40, even probably he's not worth 25. But you should always give a foreign player new to the Premier League 5-6 months to bed in. Now he's had that. You can see his performances are getting better. So perhaps if we could, you know, get him for 18 to 20 million, I would actually take the risk on him because I think he's getting better. You can see he's getting to the grips of the Premier League. You know, you can see Arnautovic with his quality. I don't know how good he was at the start for Stoke. You can see even though he was a foreigner, he'd had 5 years, I think, with Stoke playing in the Premier League. So he's already conditioned. You've got to give people a chance to get to the, because it is a totally unique league in the way we play the football.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. I think Mario shows sign of linking up well with Lanzini and Arnautovic as an attacking sort of force. Whether that's a way a manager or whatever manager would want to go is another story, but
that's the thing.
The three of them together.
Yeah, the three of them together though need the other three behind them to be really good. And yeah, I think athletic. Actually that's our undoing. I think Chiari, Noble, Obiang, whatever two of those three you play behind the Lanzini, Mario and Arnautovic, they're not really, because those three are not really going to come back and help you defend, are they? So actually, the defending in the midfield's left to them two in the centre. And they're, perhaps yeah. they're not really good enough. If you had an actual ball-winning midfielder, great what? With the tackle.
Like a Carvalho.
Yeah. Well, yeah. You know, someone that can put a tackle in and win the ball and break up play. And I think that's what it is. If you can, as soon as you get behind Lanzini and Mario, you've got near enough a clear run through the defence.
If you've got pace as well, especially because we're quite very immobile, flat. Aren't we?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, as I said last week, we've scored, you know, only the top eight teams, or no, only all the top six teams and only one other team have scored more goals than us. So actually, going forward, it's not that big a problem. But obviously, shipping in as many goals as Stoke, who went down, bottom of the table, obviously, it is, you know, that's where the obvious problem is. We've got to concentrate on defence.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, and does that start with Aaron Cresswell game?
No, I don't think it does. I think what we need to do is try and keep the core nucleus of what we got, but add quality to it. The problem we got is we could probably put out a really decent 11 if everyone was fit. But what we can't do is bring people off the bench when we get into a bit of trouble to shore it up. Because we have suffered badly with injuries, but that could come to, if you look at the players we signed last season, they're all right. You can take Joe Hart out of it because keepers in their 30s, we know, are still supposedly top of their game. But a lot of the other players were in their late 20s and early 30s. That, for me, is what we've got to get away from. We need to be signing good, decent, young below the age of 25 defenders that can come in and learn off of what we got and try and I don't demand next season a top 10 finish. What we've got to do is try and build. We've got to try and evolve the team rather than keep revolutionising the team every season. So bring three players in that are quality that can come in and build up the squad. Have a 5-year plan, but as long as you stick to it, I think it'll be all right.
Have a clear plan of the type of player, the type of game you want to play, the age group of the players you need to bring in. You know, have a complete clear plan of action as opposed to this scattergun approach that we've dealt with for all the Sullivan years up to now.
I mean, look how many managers they've had in 8 years. I mean, that for a start is not realistically. I know that's modern football. But if you look at the teams around us, we've all chopped and changed our manager. We're all winning nothing. So what are we actually achieving by doing? We're achieving nothing.
Yeah. Yeah. 21 years of Wenger, though. And what did he achieve in 21 years?
Hold up. In the past 4 years, they've won 3 FA Cups. When Arsenal fans sit and complain and moan and bitch about him, I'd say, well, you want to come down the Olympic Stadium, mate, then have a look at
what's going on. No, they don't. Oh, that's clean.
Anyway,
they don't
let's just there. Finish off the Everton before we move on. West Ham had 57% possession to 43%. We had 15 shots, 4 on target, so we did well to get 3 of them in. They had 14 shots, 7 on target. So they had a lot more shots on target. But Adrian, we haven't mentioned him, had a really good game, didn't he?
He made some save.
Huh?
He did have a good game, yeah.
He made some really good.
Mate, he had a good game.
We should keep him. We should keep him.
You know, he had a couple of great chances. I mean, Noble got through, didn't he, early on? Their keeper had a great save. Zabaleta had a good effort, didn't he? Just wide. You know, it was a good game.
Hmm. So, that's it. The season's over, guys. Did you know that? That was the last game.
Whee.
So let's do a little review. I mean, we finished 13th. By the way, I know you like to know what the money is. The TV money alone is nearly £121 million. By my reckoning, it's £120.9 million when it gets announced. And obviously you've got to add on the ticketing and the sponsorship and everything else on top of that. So it's going to be a bumper year. We got more money, by the way, than last year when we finished 11th because we had a lot more games on TV, as John will know, because he couldn't make a lot of them. Summary from you, John, first. What did you make of the season? Was it satisfying?
Or was it unsatisfying? It was a hard season. Lots of ups and downs, mainly downs, really. It was just very disappointing. We are getting used to the surroundings as such. We're finding our feet anyway, aren't we, about our daily sort of match day experience as such. But even things happened yesterday, which were brand new, they changed something on the day to stop you walking through to where we always walk through.
Oh, yeah. We had a little row, or I had a little row with a 15-year-old steward.
Well, yeah, I told you to leave him alone. It's nothing to do with him. But as far as the season goes, mate, it was right up there as one of the worst, wasn't it, to be honest with you? But, you know.
I don't know, it had its moments.
Go on then, you tell me what.
I know, it's committees, the marches, no marches, the march back on again, the votes and no confidence. I mean, there's never been a dull moment that the supporters take over, the coup, then there's a coup, then there's going to be a vote, then there's not going to be a vote. I mean, it was never a dull moment all season. There's a board revolt. Now the board revolt is now turned into we don't like Bilic. Now it's Operation Moyes. Oh, now we've got Moyes in. We don't like Moyes. I mean, there wasn't a dull. For Keyboard Warriors, it was right up there with the best.
Yeah, but just as a football fan who wants to go and watch the football, it was pretty
long. Oh, the football. Oh, sorry. I thought you meant as a whole. You mean the football.
Yeah.
Nah, we were rubbish at football.
Yeah, it wasn't a very good season. That's my review.
Nigel,
John says
season review by award-winning Nigel Khan, the shed man.
Well, right, let's take a look where we finish. 13th. So if we take where we finished, 13th spot, it's just below the parameter. But my personal targets are finish 12th or above. So we've just finished out of that. Have a good cup run. Didn't really. Well, we got to the quarterfinals of the League Cup, but we surrendered that. But we had a good day out. Wembley beating Tottenham. So yin and yang.
Yeah, that was a good day. So, you're right.
But that's master. We got 42 points. Now, 42 points, for me, is the bare minimum West Ham have to achieve. And for the pure reason is, that's the points we went down with under Roda, the record amount of points. So if you tend to think that Roda is probably the second worst manager we've ever had in our history, and he went down with 42 points. Redknapp, the year in his last season, finished with 42 points, finished 15th. So the big thing for me is and the fact that no one was really cut adrift at the bottom until right at the end, which ties in what I say is with the TV money. And the next season's just going to be harder because everybody's getting 120, 150 million. So everybody's going to be chasing the same quality of players for the market that we're in. You know, we're going to be competing with the likes of Wolves to sign a player, Huddersfield to sign a player, Burnley to sign a player, where before we would compete with like the Evertons and the Newcastles to sign players because we were in the second tier of the three-tier Premier League. The Premier League's now two tiers. So people always seem to think, because social media is an instant reaction, that a football season's a marathon, not a sprint. It's all about where you end up at the end. And 13th spot, it's like getting a C+ in an exam. You've passed, but you ain't done that well. But I'm happy with a C+ because all mine's were Fs.
So, but like you've said, right? What was the difference? I'm just going to look this up now. You know, we could have got 10th
Well, look,
place.
Let's put it like this, yeah? So I've had a Palace fan who for years I've took the piss out of. He's finally got to, you know, because I always go, I have to look downwards with my hand over eyes. Where are you? Where are you? I can't see you. Well, he's done that back to me today. And when you look at it, Palace have finished 11th, 2 points above us.
Yeah, on 44 points.
I'll show you where them 2 points happened, yeah? Back in September at Selhurst Park. 2-0 up.
Yeah.
2-1 up going into the 92nd, 93rd minute. And we had the ball in their corner and Michael Antonio chipped it to no one. He didn't even look up. He just chipped it into the keeper's arms, Hennessy, throws the ball out. Bish, bash, bosh. They're upfield. Bang. Goal.
Zaha.
2-2. That gives Palace a point that they wouldn't have got. Takes 2 points off of us. Give us 2 points. Take a point off Palace. Hello, we're 11th. Let's then throw in, we've got no points against Brighton and Hove Albion.
That's bad.
Yeah, so let's throw us in. Let's throw a dog a bone and say 4 points there. So that now puts us on to 48 points. And what we've done now is...
Yeah, which would be about ninth, by the way. That
now
would be
we're
above
a top
Leicester,
10 finish. 47. And actually, we've had an half-decent season. And it's
what manager,
fine
though?
Fine lines.
And Sam finished on 49, 8th place for Everton. Burnley finished at 54 points. I mean, outside the top seven, everybody was still on 40-something points. So 49
Look at
Everton.
The gap between Burnley, yeah, and Chelsea, two places above Burnley, and Burnley and us.
16 points.
Burnley and us. 8 points.
And Man City obviously finished on 100 points.
You know, the season, we don't know if this is the future yet of how the Premier League is going to be. We'll see next season. The problem you got now is three established Premier League clubs have gone. You've got some money clubs coming up. Wolves have got serious backers. Cardiff, we've seen them before with Tan. I'll personally be surprised out of the two. I fully believe Wolves will stay up.
Yeah, is it the first time all three promoted clubs have stayed up?
No, it's happened before.
Yeah. And Burnley, what was the secret in Burnley's success for you?
Stability. Stability and decent managership and decent...
Building the team. They don't look at superstars. They look at players. We apparently looked at this Chris Wood, yeah? Never bought him. They bought him and he pops up with goals. If you look at Burnley's team... There's not one West Ham fan to go, oh, I'll have him, or I'll have him, or I'll have him. On paper, Burnley are better than us. But as a team, they're run properly. But then again,
and coached.
But then again, they ain't got a circus act behind them, have they? They ain't got, you know, keyboard warriors and malcontents and social media accounts undermining managers.
I mean, that's got to be the. That's got to be the title for today's podcast, isn't it?
Probably.
Malcontents and keyboard warriors.
Yeah.
Look. All right. So it's a tougher division, and we, you know, when we spoke to David Gold before the beginning of the season, if you remember, we did that interview. He said he wanted top eight. His personal view is wanted top eight. So we didn't achieve that. And I think that's what most people were talking about relegation before the beginning.
Mate, it's only two games ago, really, that we weren't going to get relegated, wasn't it? Yeah. So what a season. It's just been incredible.
Yeah, half of it for me is that he puts, when people put a target, and this is the thing, when owners come out and go, oh, I want top eight and I want a decent cup run, yeah, that puts immense pressure on the manager straight away. Well, you should be looking at making progress to what you had before.
Yeah.
And steady progress.
Let's not forget the start of the season. Remember, because of the Athletics, we played three games away. Man United, I'm just going to run through the season as my season review. We lost 4-0 away first game of the season in August to Man United at Old Trafford. When then
we scored three of those goals in the last 5 or 6 minutes.
Yeah, I remember. Yeah. We lost 3-2 to Southampton at St Mary's.
10 men.
We went on to Cheltenham. We won, but then Newcastle, we lost 3-0, and it was it set a pattern with the amount of goals we conceded. Now we did win the first game at the London Stadium, which wasn't till the 11th of September against Huddersfield. Then another draw. Then we had that great. Then we lost against Spurs. A cheeky win against Swansea, probably writing on the wall. But then we lost, after Burnley draw, we lost 3-0 against Brighton in October. Then we had the Wembley win, which both of us went to, 3-2 in the cup, came to nothing. And then drubbings, 4-1 by Liverpool, 2-0 by Watford, 4-0 by Everton in November. And on it went by then until, you know, December we got that 3-0 win over Stoke. We had a 3-0 win over Southampton. And there really wasn't anything else to talk about for the rest of the season. 2-0 win over Watford we had, remember, at the London Stadium.
That was the last win.
3-0 loss against Burnley at the London Stadium, remember that. Just before we won 3-0 against the Saints. A 1-1 draw against Chelsea, which we went to, didn't we, John? That was okay at Stamford Bridge, holding them 1-1.
Yeah.
But then the floodgates opened when we lost 4-1 against Arsenal, 4-1 against Man City. So you're right. It was, for me, a number of goals we conceded. We conceded the most amount of goals. I think there was, like, 16 games we conceded 3 or more goals, and that's not usually the West Ham way. Remember, that's, you can't just blame that on Moyes. That was Moyes and Bilic. And I think we were very grateful we didn't have to take it to the last game, because actually it was quite relaxed against Everton, wasn't it? It was quite a joyous day, a celebration of survival. But what will change? What will change next season?
Well, the manager, by the
way. Was it just more than the same?
But this is the thing, though. This is, we're right again at another critical time, because historically, teams that are badly managed as ours, top to bottom, probably will go down next season. So
eat, sleep, rave, repeat.
You just have to look at how Villa was when their owner sort of gave up the ghost and then stopped investing in the team. I mean, I saw something today that this 17-18 was £7 million net spend or something. Is that right, Sean?
Yeah.
You know, so...
What?
It's just...
£7 million net spend. It's a figure I do recognise that people have talked about. Anyway, I want to move on to the manager situation, because we've been yapping for 30 minutes. Manager says, technically... At midnight, I'm out of a job because he's 6 months. Sky and both TalkSport have said he's left West Ham. Now, technically, that is right, but it's a bit of sensationalism for the sake of it. Who would ever do that? Because, you know, he hasn't been sacked. No one's talked to him. His contract's come to an end. So, yes, technically, he's not going to West Ham, but no one is. You know, pretty much... Rush Green shut down, apart from a few groundsmen. Most of the people have gone away on holiday. The World Cup squads have been picked today. They'll be soon going off to their training camps. There's not a lot to be said. The only one interesting thing that David Moyes did say, and we're going to move on this in a minute, is no one, I haven't set a date to sit down with the chairman, and I haven't set a time. So he hasn't spoken to the board at all. He knows no time or date yet. Do you now? What the I know we've talked over WhatsApp today, but our listeners haven't. It was interesting to me that the bookies have put Moyes odds on. So Betfair had him 1-3 odds on to stay, with everybody else long odds, and Unibet had him 1-99 to stay. Bookies don't tend to give away money, do they, Nigel? And it's interesting. Do they know something? Are they hedging their bets? Breaking news. I've just got an update while we've been on air. He will have an interview next week with the board. So the board will sit down with him and interview him, is what I've been told. And alongside another couple of manager candidates, which probably will include Emery, who obviously his replacement got announced today for PSG. And who knows, maybe Benitez, maybe Marco Silva, maybe for its, we don't know at the moment. If you were in Moyes' position, what would you do, John?
Me, personally?
Yeah.
I would think I've done my job. I would think this place is a basket case, and I would walk away with some credibility and probably go and get another job. Now, would I get another job in the Premier League could be the only thing that would make me think about
right, breaking news. Everton sources have today revealed to Clarence Hugh that Everton are interested in the possibility of bringing David Moyes back to Everton if Sam Allardyce is sacked at the end of the season.
No. Where'd you get that from?
I'm just the messenger. Can't say.
Well, I mean, if I had another option to another Premier League club, I'd go straight away. I mean, he must have seen the workings of our club and what's gone on. And he, I think we all know that he's been shocked by what he's seen. So, you know, I would get out of there given the choice. Would I want him to stay? I think he is probably our likely option. It's because it suits the club, because they're pretty incompetent from top to bottom. They haven't got to make a decision. They can just stick with him and just carry on knowing that they'll probably get some mediocrity out of it and some stability. So yeah, I think it would suit them to not have to make a decision.
Yeah. Well, we'll move on to Nigel. Nigel, I wrote a blog earlier saying four managers available to replace Moyes. Louis Henrique, who won the treble with Barcelona in 2015, he didn't have a job last season and wants to get back into football. Ancelotti.
He's linked with Arsenal. Ancelotti.
Yeah, all right. Just let me finish. Don't interrupt. before you rubbish it, Carlo Ancelotti, obviously sacked by Bayern Munich last September, said he wanted 10 months off. He's coming back into the fold. Could come to West Ham. Laurent Blanc, who was been out of work after leaving PSG in 2016, after winning three titles for them, he could be another one. And of course, Emery, whose contract with PSG finishes on the 22nd of May. Either one of those four could join us, couldn't they, Nigel?
Oh, behave yourself.
What are you saying?
Let's look at the reality of it. Yeah, those managers are used to shopping in Harrods. Yeah. Like, Dick Henry signs Neymar, did he not? So he had Neymar under...
Dick Henry?
Yeah.
Una?
Yeah, whatever his name is.
Una, he did, Stubbs, but before that he was at Sevilla, wasn't he?
So,
and he had a good run there. And he's
been at clubs where, all right, so he's established himself as a manager. He's at Seville. He was the manager when they did three UEFA Cup wins on the trot, or three finals. They definitely won two of them because they were the first team to retain it in the modern way it's been rescheduled. He then gets the PSG job, wins the title with PSG. He's sacked because of his failings in the Champions League, possibly. because at the end of the day, they've won the title. So in France, he couldn't really do much more. Is he then, after working with players of the calibre like Neymar and all the other top quality, working for the, I think, is it Abu Dhabi or Dubai, I think, own PSG. I think it's Dubai, own PSG or Qatar, working for them, then they come and work for, you know, Lidl's. Because that's the owners that we got.
Of course, it's a big brand. We've got the second biggest screens in Europe, right? We've got an iconic stadium.
See, this is the thing, all jokes aside.
If it wasn't for malcontents and keyboard warriors, there would be no problems.
Yeah, there you go. You know,
you keyboard warrior. You're a keyboard warrior, and John's a malcontent.
Or the other way around.
Or the other way around.
Or everyone.
Well, probably all of them.
So all right, let me ask a question, which is a really important question. The reason David Moyes is in so much trouble is a turn against him from the fans. So I know you'll have a go at me, but I ran another poll today on Twitter, right? Because I know you like polls. And I wanted to know whether after winning 7 points from a maximum of 9 in his last 3 games, whether supports a change. And I said, with David Moyes finishing the season strongly, getting 7 points out of maximum 9, should he be given another chance? Now, 1,410 have voted so far. 26% say yes. 74% say no. Now, we know our board look at these.
Do they look at these polls?
They look at polls. Yeah. They are interested in polls.
What, do they take action on these polls, are they?
I don't know, but that's my question. Should we be led by fan power? Well, you know, we are fans and we're part of the problem. Should West Ham fans be deciding when the manager goes, when the next manager is? Should they be listening to fans? Or are we just messing it up? Because we seem to do this. We go, Sam out. Right, Billage out. Moyes in, Moyes out. You know, will we just keep on doing this? And the longer they listen to the fans, should they just be made? I think John said this before. Should they just actually make up their mind and stick to it? And just stick to, you know, can you imagine this happening at Arsenal? Can you imagine this happening at Chelsea? Do anyone else listen to fan power as much as we do?
Well, I don't know, because I don't follow other clubs and their social media scenes to see if there is another, you know, Mr. Arsenal Football Twitter account tweeting shit polls, you know, so to get the eye of the owner.
All right, well, let me ask you questions away from what do.
No,
or
I'm
not.
Just saying generally, should, but it ain't just you, is it?
Should the
it's the others.
Should, yeah, but listen to the question. Should the board listen to fan power, yes or no?
They should take note of fans, but it shouldn't be, this is what we're going to do. Because these social media accounts, anyone could, you don't even know if 1,400 of the people that voted in your poll were West Ham fans for a start.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win. And support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. The future isn't scary. Not realizing its potential, however, could be. Just like on the recruiting trail, I've seen potential come in many forms as a coach. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
No, you don't. You're right.
So it's stupid to begin with from the off. But isn't it funny how all of a sudden they're going to listen to polls about Moyes and off of social media that it's going to like shape the way they think, when poll after poll on social media told them to fuck off and they're still there?
And so, that is the absolute bottom line. The people have lost sight of the main problem here.
Yeah.
The Moyes has performed. I mean, don't get me wrong. I mean, I didn't want Moyes when he came, but I accepted it because, you know, that's what we got. I agreed with the comment that Nigel said he was probably the best manager that they've ever employed. But what they did, they put him in an environment that all he had to do was survive to achieve. And that's what he's done. He didn't have to entertain. He didn't have to give us a cut run. He just needed to get us safe to get his money and to prove his point. And that's what he's done. So everyone needs to realise that this is all of it that we see on a daily basis comes from the top, and their incompetence from top to bottom. And unless they do anything like they said they were going to do, which was step back, put someone in, director of football in, Karen Brady, just please fuck off, and all this sort of, if they just didn't put anything proper in place, it's just going to continue and continue. And whoever comes in, whoever the manager is going to suffer for it.
My view is, if you've really got ambition to get a big name manager, and you're going to put the money behind him, and you're not going to interfere, then replace Moyes. However, if you're going to carry on interfering, as you've done, and not putting in money, you might as well
keep
Moyes.
You know that already. You've banded out the figure of how much the transfer is going to be, the budget's going to be. We know they're not going to back the next manager. Their transfer budget for next season.
So you might as well keep Moyes. As much as it pains me, are you... So the question I would ask, are you really interested in moving to the next level, as you promised, or are you just interested in staying in the Premier League? If the answer is the latter, you might as well keep Moyes. In fact, bring Allardyce back then, right? If you just want to keep inside the Premier League. However, if you've got real ambitions, then go and get Emery, go and get Benitez, pay them £10 million a year, give them a £100 million budget, and step back from interfering in the day-to-day and the transfer business. That's
but
my
you
honest.
You just said something that's killing us, and something that's killed, like, from the fans. It's this fucking next level saying, forget about the next level, because that's putting an unachievable target on there that we're constantly going
to
fail.
Not my words, the board's words.
No, it's just, yeah, but we keep saying it. People keep talking about it. People keep using it as a stick to beat them with. And it's one of the big reasons why they should actually see why they have to sell the club and go. Because every season they do not achieve what they said, they're holding the club back because the fans will use it as a stick to beat them with. It will go
on until
they leave.
All right, hang on. I just think we had a moment there where Nigel just stuck up for the ball.
No, I didn't.
I said they've got a goat song. Because the thing is that the fans are just going to kill each other. We're just going to tear the club apart over this poxy next level argument that they brought up, that they started. It's a noose round their neck. And if they love the club, like they say they'd love the club, they realise it's an unachievable aim. They've sold us down the river. The only way the club can start healing would be a new owner, because we then can't say to that owner, you promised us the next level. Where's this top four Champions League? Where's the world-class players? Until they've gone, we will continue to use that as a stick to beat them with. And actually, it probably holds us back as a fan base. And until
Karen Brady stops going on about how we cannot really achieve the fan experience because of our lease that she negotiated, she helped draw up, and she bloody signed, then she should just off as well. You know what I mean?
Right. We're going to talk about that in a minute, but I just want to ask one last question in the manager segment before we move on. And the question is to you first, John. What manager would you like to come in from the ones that have been talked about? And who do you think will be our manager realistically?
Realistically, next year it's going to be Moyes. I think that Emery, given his history, not at PSG, but was it Valencia, Villarreal? Was it? I can't remember now. I said it earlier.
Seville.
That's it. He had an unfancy team. Okay. He got a squad together, and he coached them, and they became champions at a certain level. It was a sort of success with a team at our level, and he built it up. So he would be, but he's not a very good English speaker, is he?
Well, apparently he's getting better. Nigel, same question.
I'm not against Dick Emery coming in, and as long as he realises.
You wouldn't want Rafa Benitez. You wouldn't want Ancelotti.
No, because I think, these are managers that for far too long have worked at a higher level. I don't think Benitez is going to come. I think he's going to stay at Newcastle. They'll do a deal. They'll give him money. And I think he'll...
You think he's using this to drive up his price? Yeah,
I do. I think I can't knock the bloke for doing it. You have to use whatever leverage you get. I wouldn't be disappointed if Moyes stays, because I think he's earned a one-season shot to see what he can do if he can make the changes that he would like. But a bit of me thinks, if I was David Moyes, you know, you put the question to John, what would you do? If I was David Moyes and I had to be interviewed for my job again, it would be, go fuck yourself. I've done it. I've shown you.
So who will be our manager? So answer, well, going a long way around it, who will be our manager?
I don't know, because who knows the way them idiots think?
Well, this is a podcast. We need you to have an opinion. Who do you think? Will it be Moyes, or do you really think they're replacing?
Let's get Pep Guardiola then.
Yeah, well, it might as well be from the list that you say. I mean, and that's the thing. So.
Personally, I'd go out and get Eddie out.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
That's the man.
Why can't you do that? Why can't they go and look at, you know, someone like Eddie Howe and try and get him out of Bournemouth?
My concern is we've seen it all before, and there's a pattern here. We talk about all these, you know, Neymar's coming and all these, you know, Cavalio's coming and everything. We talk it all up and go, yeah, we couldn't get him. So we're sticking with David
Moyes.
But you
look at, what's his name? Frank Wagner at Huddersfield. Look at the job he's done there. You know, surely he'd be worth a punt. You know, that's the sort of...
Yeah, well, he said he wouldn't guarantee his future. He said recently he won't guarantee his future.
But that's the sort of manager that we should be looking for, because we realistically... Although they talk about this next level and they get slated for not showing enough ambition, but they're not going to be able to get that manager, the Emerys and the Ancelottis or whatever. They're not going to be able to get these managers because they're not going to be able to match their manager's ambition. So if they had their sights slightly lower, but someone who's on the up as opposed to someone who's just not on the merry-go-round and stagnating, then they could stand a chance, couldn't they?
See, we're not in that position yet, are we, to appoint that manager as a team? You know, for the past two seasons, we've actually finished in roughly our highest point by winning the last game of the season. When was we 13th last in the league table?
Well,
last season, we finished 11th by winning away at Burnley, last game of the season, and we jumped three spots. Yeah. Where before, we'd been hanging around 16th and 15th spot.
Anyway, let's move on. One of John's favourite subjects, he's mentioned it already, Karen Brady, if she hasn't done enough harm, decided to do a Sun column. She said that it'd been a satisfying year and that there'd been a few problems at London Stadium to do with the lease, which they were tackling. And the only problem was a small minority of malcontents and keyboard warriors. Now, this infuriated not just the malcontents and the keyboard warriors, but it infuriated a large group of people. We sung songs, as we said earlier. But one of those people taking this to task is WISA, the Independent Supporters Association, and they've started a petition calling for Karen Brady to end the Saturday Sun column. It says, we, the undersigned, call on Karen Brady in the interests of West Ham United Football Club to cease writing a Saturday column in the Sun newspaper. We believe the continuation of this particular column is detrimental to the well-being of the football club and as a source of constant bad publicity. Further, it was also highly dismissive of West Ham United fan base and of genuine concerns people hold. Have you signed it, John?
I haven't.
No. Are you going to?
Yeah, probably.
Nigel?
I've not signed it yet.
Will you?
Yes.
And I will sign it as well. I think they're on to something here. I'm not.
How they got there, though, and I will say it.
Go on, then. Say your piece.
Well, you'd look. Me and Mark are good mates. We're very good mates. And perhaps we had a little falling out. I thought it was laughable to vote a no confidence in Karen Brady. I did. I before they held the vote, I told him what the result would be. So what are you going to do? Now, the petition is brilliant. Should have just done it, in my opinion.
Yeah.
So, you know, we'll move on from that. We'll forget about that. And let's push on with the petition. I mean, without wishing to set targets, what numbers do we think we need for it to actually take notice? Because I think you're going to need somewhere approaching well over 10,000, maybe 15,000 West Ham fans to sign that petition for the club to notice it.
Well, I have just... We've done a thing on Clarence and Hugh about it. I've literally put it on our Facebook group, which is www.facebook.com/morethanjustapodcast. So there is another 8 people that listen to our podcast that will sign it. So that's 8 closer to 15,000, Nigel.
How many have signed it?
I don't know. They don't say. It's not publicly available. Right. But yeah, so we support the aims of Wissa on it. I know I have a slight relationship with Karen Brady, and I go to supporter advisory boards and I go to bloggers meetings, etc. But I do agree, and I'm happy to say to her face, I don't think the Sun column helps West Ham and doesn't further your aims.
That's the funny thing about it. It's not that the fact is that the Sun column don't help West Ham. It's what she says in that Sun column. She can write a Sun column, but it's the crap about West Ham and the constantly, you know, apparently... Don't forget, we can go back years and years. You know, apparently we were the team that rained down bananas on our own black players.
Yeah. You
know, this is the crap we've had to put up with for years and years. And it's about time Sullivan had a backbone and Gold got a backbone inserted and fucking told her.
Yeah. Karen, if you're listening,
Sadiq Khan's told her, isn't he? Well, you don't want nothing to do with it, does he, basically?
Look at that. That's all going to be turned round. West Ham are going to make him public enemy number one. All the ills for us are going to be heaps on his doorstep, and they're going to get the fans, and it's a blind deflection tactic. It's not us, Gov, it's them. They won't let us do this, when actually it is them. Yes, you did.
They signed it. They didn't negotiate. But surely that won't happen, because... people are clever enough to realise, aren't they? Surely.
Yeah, of course. Very clever. Anyway, we're moving on. We do like committees. And moving on from the WISA committee to the breakaway, what's going on at the supporters club. Now, we went down to Stour Place on Sunday to support them yet again, the West Ham supporters club. Or is it? As some of you following this will know, They've just wiped out about 800 people off the membership who can't vote next Sunday. Now, there is a vote going on next Sunday on the 20th in the in the Bolin pub. And they're still voting for dissolution. However, I think the stance they're taking, if I'm right, Nigel, correct me if I'm wrong, is... if you signed up to the club and you're a bona fide member, who, by the way, Nigel and myself are, because we signed up before June, and you got an email to say you're a bona fide member, which we did, then I think the message is go and vote with your conscience. Do you want this 70-year institution to end and give the money to people who have been there 8 years,
or do you want it to continue? Are you going on Sunday, Nigel?
Yeah, I will go down there Sunday and cast my vote on the best way I see fit.
Yeah. Vote with your conscience. Vote with your conscience. That's all we say. Vote with your conscience. Don't listen to either side.
I'll tell you what,
vote with your conscience.
I don't think it's a done deal yet that the meeting will take place.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I think there's more to come. I think, you know, the way they've gone about the membership and the fact is that they say that these 700-odd or 800-odd people are not members when they carry the same card as you and I. You know, I think it's it could get a bit tied up in emails this week. And
yeah,
we'll see. Perhaps a deal can be done.
Maybe, maybe. We support Stour and I'm sure we'll be drinking there again next week. So well done to the people who...
Yeah, I think you should say thanks to the people that the volunteers that run the bar, because it's all volunteers now, so no one's paid to do what they do.
Yeah.
Stour, I don't think I'm speaking out of turn if I said I'm pretty sure we've got it for next season, for the full year.
Yeah.
So hopefully we can then take it forward.
Yeah. Okay. John, are you still there?
I am, yeah. I'm not. I didn't get an email. I was leaving you to it.
Yeah.
Even though I am a member, I thought, but there you go.
Ready. It's the More Than Just a Podcast Awards. I only put these together about an hour ago, and I asked our 8 listeners, well, 12 listeners, to vote on 3 awards I just made up about an hour or two ago. And
you are such a laugh.
I'm such a laugh. Now, the first award is to the More Than Just a Podcast Presenter of the Year, and that was from George... from a list of George, John, Nigel, Sean, and our guest presenter, Ian.
Ian who?
Ian Dale. We haven't had any other presenters. The second category was West Ham Podcast of the Year from More Than Just a Podcast, Stop Hammer Time, The West Ham Way, The Free Hammers, although there's only 2 of them, and The American Podcast, West Ham Podcast. And the third one was your favourite animated character from Canning Town Len, The Janitor from Hong Kong Phooey, SpongeBob, Homer Simpson, and Eric Cartman from South Park. Now, I said, please don't take the voting seriously. Now, drum roll, please. I don't have a drum roll, but I'm glad to hand out the awards. And I'm going to start in reverse order for animated animated cartoon character. In last place was SpongeBob with 1. Homer Simpson got 2 votes. Cartman got 2 votes. But the winner by a landslide with 7 votes from our 12 listeners is Canning Town Len. Well done, Canning Town Len. You gave us a Lenny. We're giving you a Mappy. Right, the second one. Remember, self-praise is no praise. However... American Podcast got Nilpois. The Free Hammers got Nilpois. Stop Hammer Time got 2 votes. Well done. Well done.
Shit,
boys.
Hammer
well
Time
done, boys.
Got 2 votes.
Yeah. Wow. West Ham Way got 3 votes out of 12. Whoa. Well done. But by landslide again, More Than Just a Podcast, funny enough, run on our own Facebook group, got 7 votes and are the winner of Podcast of
the Year.
Are
we allowed to take it, though? Because surely self-praise is no praise.
Self-praise is no praise. We should give it to someone. We should give it, I tell you what, we should do the honourable thing. Self-praise is no praise. And I'd like to dedicate our award, because we've already won a Lenny, to the American Podcast. Well done, boys.
Yeah.
Even though you got no votes.
And Borley,
just for the song.
I met in the supporters club. One of them. I've forgotten what one.
Anyway, the final, this is a biggie. This is a biggie. This is equivalent of Hammer of the Year.
Good Lord.
First of all, the presenter of the year, Ian Dale, Nilpois. George Bucci, Nilpois. Jonathan Bucci,
one vote.
That was me.
Sean Whetstone, one vote. And by a landslide, presenter of the year for his third award in a matter of days is Nigel, who got an incredible 10 votes. And most of them for Shedman, not for Nigel. But Nigel, you are our official presenter of the year.
Well, I'm honoured. Thank you very much, everyone.
Would you like to give a speech?
Yeah. Thanks, everyone. I'd like to thank you boys for bringing me on board, because it has been great fun. And I've really enjoyed it.
It's a good job we did, otherwise no one would listen. Now,
well, listen.
You being so popular and all that.
Just don't let this award stuff go to your head, because remember, self-praise is no praise.
I don't want to beat myself up, but it hasn't happened all season, but three people recognised me yesterday in the game.
What? Tell us what happened. You went to the Heineken bar.
After you walked away from me just before the start of the game, and I've forgotten his name. I feel really bad, but I did christen him listener number 5. I think his name was Mark. So I had a good chat with him, and I said, well, you can be listener number 5, and that's going to be his squad number. So then, yes, at the Heineken bar, someone turned round, clocked me, went, "Here, mate, you're the bloke that does the videos, aren't you?" And I was like, yeah. I didn't know what to say. He shook me hand, said, "Oh, I really like you, want to keep going?" I was like, cheers. Didn't buy me a beer, though. But anyway, and then on the boats, a couple of people came up to me and said, "We really like what you do, so thanks a lot." And I did ask the bloke his name, but to be fair, I was rat-ass yesterday, and I feel really embarrassed.
Oh, actually, there's a late vote in, and it should be counted, because there was 13 votes in the end, and I missed it. Andrew Hadrick said the presenter of the year was actually one vote for Dave Walker. Wrong podcast, mate. Podcast of the year, more than just a podcast, so great, thanks. That's, and the favourite animated cartoon is Shedman. So you got one vote for the animated cartoon as well. There you go.
There you go.
And well done, Dave, for getting a vote.
There must be a cartoon there somewhere, mustn't there? Shedman.
We should get, and we've talked about this before, but we should get Canning Town Len on the podcast, because he won't have to animate any of that stuff, right? Because you know he's not real. He's just a cartoon.
Is he?
Right. Yeah. Yeah, some people think he's real and start rattling with him.
Wards it a perspective, though, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does. Yeah. He's a cartoon. He's not real. Anyway.
You should meet his cousin, Basil and Ben.
We should definitely. We'll get Canning Town Len on the podcast. Anyway.
He did the white flight years ago out into Essex.
Anyway, I know it's the end of the season, but we're 1:05, so it's time for this. Yes, it's Facebook Twitter question time. And this is where I waffle while Nigel brings up the Facebook page. Earlier today, I said, what did I say?
Do you want me to tell you?
I said, podcasting tonight, the award-winning podcast is back to review the Everton win, the season and the manager situation. Send in your questions, statements of fact, or shout outs before 8 p.m. Who would you like to replace David Moyes? Here is my long list of 15, but feel free to add your own. Emery, Benitez, Silva, Tuchel, Pellegrini, Mancini, Fonseca, Blanc, Ancelotti, Henrique. it's the worst one.
You know. Oh.
Wagner, Howe. Rodgers and Nagelsmann.
Sorry, a cat just walked into my shed, scared the fucking life out of me.
Go on, away you go,
Nigel. He's having heart palpitations there. Leave him alone. Oh, no.
And there's loads of them, by the way. There are absolutely loads of them.
Here we go. Oh. Lewis, the regular, Aaron Trout. I should have put my glasses on. Don't want Moyes to stay, but my only concern is, if a new manager comes in, what if he doesn't want Arnie, and Arnie doesn't like him? They do get along, but he plays Arnie out of position and he goes back to what he was in the first 3 months of being here. Moyes has got the best out of him, which has to be a big factor. Thanks again for all your efforts, lads. Have a good summer. Look forward to more interaction next season. Cheers, Luke.
Thanks, mate.
Next up, Richard Dodds. Dodsy. I don't know you, but I'm going to call you that. Am I the only person who would be happy to see Arsene Wenger as our manager? I generally don't get what all the protests are about. He would get a top six play the football we won and would have a better idea on transfers than the current idiots. Seymour. And I ask again, where do we go with the protest now? You know, after the Everton game, they were in the boardroom patting each other, I think they should say, on the back. More razzle-dazzle on its way.
Razzle-dazzle.
Paul Harris, Eddie Howe, young, ambitious, knows the Premier League, English, manages well on a realistic budget. His team plays with great spirit and good tactical awareness, tries to play attractive, quick-moving, passing-based football, and is realistically attainable target.
I don't think he is.
In brackets, Tuchel.
Tuchel's gone already, but I don't think he is. Eddie Howe is the king of his castle. He has the biggest say in everything. And if he come to us, I think he'd, or if he looked at us, I don't think he would come.
They don't fancy him.
Nick Harvey. Firstly, thanks for all the podcasts this season. A great listener, as always. Cheers. I'd say that this season has been shambolic, certainly off the pitch, and only marginally better on the pitch. The Baroness continues her self-promotion and antagonism of the fans. Golden Sullivan will leave no stone unturned to make a successful. Sorry, heard it all before. West Ham United FC, worst value for money in the Premier League, says it all, really. The money Sullivan spent over the last few seasons has been largely wasted, with Arnautovic, Obiang, Ogbonna and Lanzini being the only exceptions. As for a manager, all the time the clowns are running the circus, it's hard to see that you'll be able to take us forward. Nagelsmann would be my choice, but can't see that happening. Moyes did his job, but with significant help from the other clubs performing badly. 13th may sound acceptable, but that's papering over the cracks. Looking forward most of all to a few weeks of not thinking about West Ham. Only one decision to do. Do I renew or not? At the moment, it's a not, but who knows? Well, Nick, I would say, look, renew. You're better off being inside pissing out than sitting outside pissing in. That's what I say.
And that's from a double, triple award winner.
Thank you, yes.
So, well, actually four now, because you've... I know we gave that away to
the American podcast.
Taffy
Wallback, who must win for best name, to be fair. Firstly, thankfully you're not podcasting while I'm asleep. Secondly, if the ball doesn't back the manager, whoever they may be, with serious cash, it does not really matter who we get. Third, what was Sam Allardyce's face like at the final whistle? It must have been priceless. Well, I was too far away to see it, to be fair.
True.
He didn't hang around, did he?
There is a lot, isn't there?
No.
There is a lot. Ian McGregor. Crap season and need new manager for sure, but don't get the love in for Lanzini. He's been underwhelming to say the least and be off in the summer. Very injury prone. Has only had one good year. We should cash in while we can. And it would go a long way for a few quality signing. All the best, lads.
By the way, let's just tackle this Lanzini thing. Media story, recycled year after year. At the end of the day, Lanzini, there's been no inquiries. There's been no agent talk. There's been no bids. This is manufactured either by his agents, etc. You know, he's got another 2 years on his contract and we've got an option for another year. What is the, unless another club comes in, what is the hurry to put him on an 80, 90 grand a week contract at the moment? Right. They certainly won't be doing anything until they choose a manager. But at the moment, they're right. No, they haven't sat down with Lanzini and they haven't offered him a new deal and they won't do until a new manager comes in.
That's good.
But I don't see this talk of Liverpool paying 50 million. Do you really think, I mean, Lanzini's good for us, but do you really think he's going to be the mainstay of a Liverpool team? Do you really think he's that good?
Oh, sorry. No. Well, John? Ricky Gaylor. Is there any chance of a new question, man Sean, convincing that?
Go on then.
Yeah.
I went off on one.
Oh, I mean, it's not that we're against the clock or anything, but I've still got shit. Like, I don't know what's happened here. There just seems to be too many people listening to
it. Just have a skim through it. No, okay. Give everyone a mention.
Ricky Gaylor, is there any chance of a new man convincing Lanzini to stay as the ship sail? Well, if you've just heard Sean, you'd realise the ship hasn't left dock yet. Also, I had a massive row over the weekend over why he's worth more than 50 in this market. Coutinho isn't. I don't know, Van. Like, what your boys' thoughts? Well, Sean's done that. Come on. Ed Hughes, do you see glimmers of hope that the board are listening? No, they're very quiet.
No.
Moyes hasn't automatically received an extended contract, so we seem to be looking at all the options. Am I deluded in thinking they may have just heard something on the gripes this season with trying a different approach? No. Ed Allfong, how happy are you that Austria didn't qualify for the World Cups? Didn't really, oh, no. Okay, no chance of Arnie to excel on the world stage. Yeah. Making it less likely the big
or injure himself. That's more important. Or injure himself.
That is good, actually.
Lanzini got called up.
Clark.
Yeah, he did, yeah.
Clark. Hoi! Will Hugill, wherever you say it, you, Jill, become a regular fixture or is he a 10 million bench warmer? No. Would you keep super?
No, they are desperate, awful, and I mean desperate, awful, to get rid of him. No. Desperate. They are hunting him out. By the way, it wasn't 10 million, right? It was 7 million. The rest of it was add-ons, which we haven't had to pay because we haven't played him. But it's 7.2 million we paid for him, and we're trying to get our money back, and we're punting him out desperately everywhere. It hasn't worked out. Don't mean to be horrible to the guy, but he'll be gone in the summer.
Good. Matthew Kemp, important that we sound out the names mentioned first as soon as interested, as ultimately if we can't get the manager one, then Moyes and his backroom staff should remain. That's a bad way to do business in my book. Would love to see Emery or Rafa at the helm. I doubt if they'll join. Paul Beasley, don't worry, West Ham fans. The board know what they're doing. Moyes to stay and use the money from Lanzini to spend on summer. Razzle dazzle. Great show, boys. Tom Underwood, why do people think Benitez will do better than Moyes? Exactly. Newcastle have a bigger net spend than us and finished 2 points above us, and we had Bilic for the first quarter of the season. Anyone but Moyes, says Chris Hooper. Fulham manager would be a good shout. Yankovic, is it? Or whatever. So at least if he was cracked, we'd have a good rhyme with his name. Would they play great football? And he knows the Championship best players, which is realistically is our market. Interesting thought. Not quite next level, the rest think, Chris, but I know where you're coming from. Tin Sharman, do you think Lanzini will leave in the summer? Thanks for a great podcast.
No.
Paul Turner, all right, Paul, I asked a question if Eddie and Jason are on their way to Stratford, but been told it's Pellegrini.
It ain't Pellegrini, because right. Let me tell you about
he's
Pellegrini.
He's still in China, Pellegrini. Right, that's you.
He's still in China. Now, hang on a minute. He's not only just in China, but his season doesn't end to next March. They've got a different season, and he's not one to give up halfway through a season. So Pellegrini, yes, we would like him, but he's never going to come, and he's never going to... I can't see DS jumping on a plane to China to see him either.
There is such a thing as a phone. Daniel McClelland, are you worried with finishing with three positive results they might keep Moyes? No, I'm not.
There's always that danger. I hear, right, just between us lot and the eight listeners, that there's a division in the board over this and it might come down to board vote, but don't tell anyone.
Oh, good. Well, Tara will be happy.
Oh, it's not that board. Right. Oh, no, it's not that board.
The other one. I'd say lucky
don't start.
I'd say they would hang us. Should we allow Mr. Boyce, Alexander McFarlane, big up the Alex. Should we allow Mr. Moyes another year to see if we can progress under his leadership? Kevin Goldsmith has joined in and says, how do I get a link to listening to the podcast tonight, please? Obviously, we record ours, then it all gets polished up somehow.
Tomorrow.
And then we put it out. We don't actually do it live, Kelvin.
Yeah, sorry, we don't Kelvin play Goldsmith. Songs.
We don't. No, to be fair, that's the best bit of that podcast. They do play some great songs on there. Gary Prince, another regular. From that 15, how many would welcome a call from Sullivan and how many would just hang up? She started with that one.
It's a good point. It's a good point.
Whoops, not today, Dave. Who? Sorry, Dave Sullivan? No, mate. No, no. I have my own stash of porn mags. Thank you. Matthew Kemp.
Awful.
Important. <That's> awful. Insert any foreign manager's name there on that impression. Matthew Kemp. Important that we sound out the names mentioned first as soon as interested. Zoltan, me, if we can't get the manager we want, then Moyes' backroom staff should remain. I would love to see Emery or Rafa at the helm. I doubt if they'll join. Is it just a ploy to increase season ticket sales? That's your lot from Facebook. Thank you very much for doing that. Do we go to Twitter now?
Yeah, go to Twitter.
Twitter.
Oh, look, there were more votes. You got more votes on Twitter as well.
How was it?
And you know what? The janitor from Hong Kong, Fui, got a vote from Tim Holland. Shedman, you got another vote, more than just a podcast. No, self-praise is no praise. And the mild-mannered janitor from Hong Kong, Fui.
Well, can you read it? I can't get to the note. I don't know what's going on here.
Oh, this is quite amusing, actually. So on it, Hammers fan 02380 said one vote for the best podcaster goes to Alan Carr. Well done, Alan Carr got one. West Ham Way, sorry. And Homer
you think
Simpson.
That's you, isn't it?
Yeah, it is me. So I got two votes. I got one more than John. But there you go. It still doesn't change the results. I don't have to change the...
remember, Sean, self-praise is no phrase.
What do you think... and then also the same person says, what do you think of the recent comments and today's tweet from Mark Noble? He seems to be digging at our owners. I don't know what Mark Noble said today.
He said something about Ginge being a great ambassador for the club and model, whatever you'd ever like to meet. Would like to see him at the club next season or something like that. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Also, Tim Holland, before he put his vote in, which for the mild-mannered janitor from Hong Kong Fui, where do we need to strengthen in the summer? Also, is Mario worth the money, especially when Antonio's back? Well, we need to strengthen everywhere. And I would keep Mario for a price, as we've said, and keep Antonio.
I would say your question about Lanzini would perform better with better players and he might do a blinder in the World Cup and he could go in.
Yeah. So that's it.
Is that it?
We did invite Gonzo, by the way, on the podcast tonight after having Ian later. He was desperate to be on the podcast. And do you know why he didn't make it?
Go on, tell us, Sean.
Because he's still hung over. When I spoke to him this afternoon, he was still in Stratford. He was so drunk and so wasted, he actually stayed. I hope his wife's not listening. in a hotel in Stratford. And he was still there this afternoon. He wasn't due to get back to about 8 o'clock tonight. That is some party. But anyway, it's time to say goodbye. Now, before we say it, I mean, we didn't mention, by the way, get well soon, George. George is still ill. He's done his ankle in and he's had a few problems. So I know he's been missing for a few podcasts, but we want to say get well soon, George. Hope you're fighting fit soon for the rest of the season, for the new season. We usually don't record during close season, so we wouldn't say hello to you until August. Now each year we go, oh, but we'll probably come back and do a
transfer window special
or a World Cup special. But now with our remote, you know, bloke in his shed, bloke in the loft, we are going to try and do that, aren't we? But we say that every year.
Yeah, of course.
So
we are.
Look out, because we won't be recording them every Monday, but we will try and do the odd podcast just to keep you going until August. But I think that's it, guys. I think I just want to take the opportunity to thank all our 8 listeners and more if there are out there. Thanks for contributing to the Facebook group. Thanks for tweeting us. Thanks for joining in. Your listenership is always appreciated as we approach our eighth season next year. John?
Thank you, everybody. I reiterate your words, Sean.
And award-winning presenter, Nigel?
Yeah, you know, as I said earlier, I wanted to thank you boys for bringing me in. Well, we've been mates for a few years now, and it's really good fun. Big thanks to George for the work he does behind the scenes in making the mess that we put together.
Editing it all together and making it. You wouldn't believe it.
That makes it sound like a show when sometimes it is absolutely chaotic, as the Wayne's world of podcasting obviously is. And more importantly, thanks to everyone that listens. And look, we don't take ourselves seriously. We take the good with the bad, and the praise with the criticism. And it's water off a duck's back, really, to be fair.
I'm just tell you a story, right? Because you said we've known each other a few years. We actually met in 2011, myself and Nigel. And I'll tell the story. Some people know this story. We met at a supporters advisory board, right? One of the first one, I think. And Nigel was heading up something called Hughes View against the stadium. And I was chosen to be the chairperson of the Olympic Stadium group that would write a report for the board.
Like a puppet on a string.
And, yeah, that went wrong, and we met, didn't we? We met at the bar.
The eyes met.
And the eyes met over the bar on both sides of the fence of the London Stadium. And we've been friends ever since.
Oh, isn't that lovely? Well, on that nice warm story, let's call it a quiz there, shall we?
Yeah,
can I just say first thing that I thought, I'll just sort of put it, is that the first time I remember listening to this, I thought you was the bastard son of Ken Livingstone.
Is that true? Anyway, it's goodbye from me, Sean. Have a good summer and some good holidays. It's goodbye from
goodbye,
John.
Goodbye, everyone. Enjoy your summer.
And goodbye from Nigel.
Come on, England, and then once England get knocked out, I'll revert back to my German heritage and we'll win the World Cup.
Come on, you Irons!
Come on, you Irons.
Of course, it's a long one. 1 hour, 25 minutes.
You kept interrupting. We still recording?
Yes.
Yeah!
Wayne's World. Wayne's World. Party time.
They don't fancy him.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.